You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
GDP the sequel is better than the original. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Earlier this year, the Commerce Department estimated the country's GDP, gross domestic product, the sum total of everything produced in the economy. And initially, it seemed the economy grew in the first quarter by the equivalent of 1.1% per year. Well, the Commerce Department got more data, crunched more numbers, and it turns out the economy grew almost double the first estimate, the equivalent of 2% per year. Diane Swonk is here to talk about it. She's chief economist at audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Diane, that seems like a huge change. Where is that coming from?
It really was an extraordinary revision, and it's sort of in line with a lot of other revisions we've seen out there, and that is that consumers continue to spend at a healthy clip. In fact, they accelerated spending in the first quarter. That was on the heels of that record Social Security bump in Social Security payments. We also saw housing did not contract as much as initially expected, and it is now on track to finally post its first quarter of expansion in over a year. So it's coming out of its recession. Exports were not as bad as initially reported. And then those state and local governments, it turns out, something we already knew, they were spending the infrastructure money that had come through.
So if GDP is particularly robust, particularly strong, does that mean that demand in the economy is also strong and therefore inflation is still going to be quite the problem? Or does it mean that the economy is doing so great that we can fight inflation and not suffer too much?
Well, certainly the Federal Reserve Chairman would like to believe the latter, even though he's hedging against the former. And what that means is he's optimistic now that we could attain a soft landing by seeing a slowdown in job openings rather than a surge in layoffs. And that's important. What he hopes to see is, you know, sort of a more gradual cooling of inflation that could take years. That is the rosy scenario. He says that, admitting that the risk of a recession is still significant because, let's face it, he's not willing to stop raising rates yet and inflation is not derailed yet.
Yeah, he's in Spain today and made several remarks along the lines of we could have two or more interest rate hikes this year.
Exactly. Not only two or more this year, but also the length of time he plans to hold rates higher. He doesn't expect to see inflation return to its 2% target on core inflation until 2025. The warning is that we have to get used to higher rates for much longer than even the Fed thought they'd have to do.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG, thank you so much.
Thank you.
OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, is being sued again. An anonymous group of individuals is trying to bring a class action suit alleging OpenAI violated copyrights and privacy when it scraped data from social media posts and websites to train its artificial intelligence model. The central question is whether all that freely available data can be fairly used to build a for-profit artificial intelligence product. Unsettled legal territory.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
GDP might be hot, but the labor market has been cooling. You can see it in the unemployment rate, which hit a six-month high of 3.7% in May. You can also see it in the number of people filing for unemployment insurance. This month, it's the highest it's been since 2021. Now, somebody has to process all those claims, and that somebody is each state's unemployment insurance agency. Those systems, you might remember, often failed catastrophically during the pandemic. So, all better now, you might wonder? No, they are still playing catch-up. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
The states have gotten $500 million federal UI improvement dollars to start replacing ancient computer and telephone networks, upgrade cumbersome tracking systems for claims, benefits, and appeals. Still, says Michelle Evermore, who coordinated those federal efforts in the Biden Labor Department,
the unemployment insurance system, it is again not ready for a recession.
For one thing, as part of the recent debt ceiling deal, Congress cut funding to continue UI improvement, says Evermore.
They took $1 billion, so they took half, and it was all technology modernization and identity verification and fighting fraud.
And that work is important because if states don't fix the problems people encountered during the pandemic, they may be discouraged from applying for unemployment when they need it. Benjamin Buell lost his job driving a truck in New Jersey early in the pandemic and then struggled to get benefits. I asked if he'd apply again if he got laid off.
My initial response, just based on what I've been through, is to say no, and I think next time I'd just rather starve. That's not realistic.
Meanwhile, New Jersey has been upgrading its UI system. It's making application forms, claims tracking, and mobile apps more accessible and easier to use, including for Spanish speakers. But the state is still struggling to process claims and appeals from the pandemic, says Sarah Heimowitz, who represents Benjamin Buell and other claimants at Legal Services of New Jersey.
It's still very difficult to pick up the phone, call one of the call centers to reach a claims examiner who can answer questions.
And some states are making it harder to receive and qualify for UI at all, for instance, by requiring recipients to take any job offered or lose benefits. More than a dozen states have cut the maximum duration for receiving benefits. And in several states, as few as 1 in 10 unemployed workers will be eligible to get UI whenever the next recession comes along. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.